This morning, we're in a series that we're calling Living the Good Life. Is anybody excited about living the good life?
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm living the good life.
Hallelujah.
All right. Okay, we're all tried. All right. Wednesday night, I said, turn to your neighbor and say something, and Roel turned to somebody over here, and Barbara turned to somebody over there. And I thought, well, I'm going to get them talking to each other. And I said, turn to your other neighbor. Then Roel turned that way, and Barbara turned that way. So Barbara turned toward Roel the first time. He was turning that way. Then he turned this way, and she turned that way. So I said, are y'all mad at each other or something? And of course, they never are. That never happens. But so I got them talking to each other before the service ended, though, Wednesday night. So praise the Lord. Say, I'm living the good life.
I'm living the good life.
Amen. Amen. Well, what is this? Well, we'll find out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul talks about the three elements that make up the human being. He says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So understanding who we are is critical and vital if we're going to live in the victory that God wants us to live in. I think I mentioned to you last week, I had a friend of mine many years ago wrote a song called Forgive Them, Father, from when Jesus was on the cross. You know, Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so he wrote a song about that. It says, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even know who I am. And that's really, they crucified Jesus because they didn't know who he was, did they? And so he was praying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing because they don't know who I am. Well, one of his buddies tried to sing the song and he got it all confused. And he said, forgive me, Father. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know who I am. And there's a lot of truth to that, though. Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know what you're doing. And you'll end up praying all the time, forgive me, Father, because you'll just be making a bunch of messes. Amen? So we want to know who we are. Amen?
Yes.
Who God is. Well, I know who I am. My name's so-and-so, and I live such. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who God made you. I'm talking about who you are in Christ Jesus. It's vital that you get a revelation of that.
Amen.
And that you understand that. Amen? And that you understand how God made you. So it's good to look at it like this. Based on the scripture we read here in 1 Thessalonians, it's good to understand it this way and to say, I am a spirit and I have a soul and I live in a body.
Amen.
Can you say that after me? Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
I live in a body.
I live in a body.
Well, your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your body, that's pretty obvious what that is. But what about your spirit? What is that? Well, that's what we've been talking about, and we're going to talk more about today. But each of us, each one of us, you are, I am, each of us is an eternal spirit being created in the image and likeness of God. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said, God is a spirit. In Genesis 1, where we were reading earlier, if we'd have kept reading, we would have read that God created man in his own image. In his own image. So if God is a spirit and we're created in his image, then that means we are a spirit being as well. Amen. You are an eternal spirit being created in the image and likeness of God. Brother Mark Hankins says it this way, that you are a speaking spirit. A speaking spirit. And that's what makes us unique as well, that we have the ability to speak and to communicate. And we actually, God gave us creative power with our words. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you're not going to create any universes, but you can create realities in your own life, blessing or cursing, based on the words you speak. He created us to be eternal spirit beings, speaking spirits. Amen. All right. And so, back in the beginning, too, we read, when Adam and Eve sinned, and we're not going to blame it all on Eve. We were at our family reunion a week ago, Saturday, and one of my cousins... my second cousin had his little children there, and they have a little girl, and we hadn't really got to know. I think she's less than a year old, so we hadn't seen her. And so I was asking the name. Said, "Well, her name is Eve. you know, like in, you know, she's the one that got us all in trouble, somebody said. I said, and then, so I told her grandpa, I said, well, I said, you know, Romans 5 says by one man sin entered into the world. So we can't lay all the blame on Eve, and all the ladies said.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Praise God. When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan became their spiritual father. That's what happened. And his nature entered into them. The nature of Satan entered into Adam and Eve. And as a result of that, that sin nature spread down to all of us, to all humanity. Now, that's why we have to be born again. So Ephesians 2, let's look at that. And I don't have that in my notes, so I'm going to have to read it out of my Bible. I hope you brought your Bible today. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Ephesians, and we looked at this passage last week. We're just going to look at a few verses here this morning, just kind of in the way of review. I know some of you weren't here last week. Ephesians 2, 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." What was our condition? Dead in trespasses and sins. Now, that doesn't mean we were physically dead, but it means that we were spiritually dead, and by spiritually dead, it means that we were separated from God. See, spiritual death doesn't mean the cessation of life; it means separation. And death in the Bible means separation. And you're going to see that we'll look at some other scriptures that bear that out. But he said, you were dead in trespasses and sins. That means that we were separated from God. But the good news is, it says he made us alive. You that were dead in trespasses and sins, he made alive. Verse 4, it says, when we were in that condition of being dead, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Aren't you glad that he is rich in mercy? Aren't you glad that he has great love toward us? God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Praise God. So God did a wonderful thing for us here. And then in verse 10, it says this. We'll skip down to verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we were separated from God, but God sent Jesus, and through what Jesus did on the cross, he reunited us back to God. Amen? He brought us back in. We were no longer separated from God, but we were brought back into union with God, brought back into fellowship with God. That's what Adam and Eve lost, that fellowship with God. You know, after they sinned, the Bible says that God came down walking in the garden in the cool of the day saying, Adam, where are you? Well, it's not because God didn't know. Amen. God knows everything. He knew where Adam and Eve was. You know, like Zig Ziglar said, he was standing behind a bush saying, over here, Lord, you know. And he said, I hid because I was afraid. I hid because of, well, what happened? That union that he had with God was broken. He didn't realize that was going to happen. The devil lied to him. The devil said, oh, you're going to be like God. There's going to be all these benefits if you do this. And the devil lied to him, though, didn't he? He didn't show him the full picture. He didn't show him what was going to happen, that he would lose that fellowship and that connection with God. But thank God, Jesus came and restored that back to us. And it says that we are now his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We know that good works don't save us, but we know that good works should follow after us being saved, right? Amen. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I want to read the Amplified version again of verse 10, and that's where we get our title for this series. Look at what the Amplified says. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. We were spiritually dead. We spiritually had the nature of the devil in us, but when we came to Jesus, God recreated us. We were born again. That's what born again means. And so we were recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should, and let's get the rest of the verse there, that we should walk in them, living the good life. Glory to God. Everybody say, living the good life. Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Praise God. God has a good life that He's prearranged and made ready for us to live in. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, living the good life, what does it mean to live the good life? It means to live as the new creation that God created us to be. It means living out of our spirit. It means living out of that part of us that's been made new.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, because when you come to Jesus, when we come to Jesus, when we get saved, when a person gets saved, it's not just getting your ticket punched to go to heaven one day. We actually receive the life and the nature of God on the inside of us, and God wants us to live out of that new nature now. Amen? Look at this scripture. We referred to it last week, but we didn't look at it. I want us to look at it today. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Notice this. He says that we can be partakers of the divine nature. What is that? That's the nature of God. That we're partakers of that of God's divine nature. See, when again talking about the seed principle and how everything produces after its kind and all of that, God created or planned for the human race to be populated that same way, didn't He? Through that seed principle. And so when we're born again, the seed of God comes on the inside of us, the nature of God comes on the inside of us. We spent time talking about that, looking at the scriptures last week about that, that we're actually born of God, that we're God's children, not just by adoption, but we're God's children by birth. We're born again, and His nature comes to live on the inside of us. And so it says that we've been given great and precious promises, and through these promises, we partake of the divine nature. So, the life of God, the nature of God's on the inside of us, and it's activated through the promises of God. That life, you know, you ever have something like in chemistry with chemicals? There are certain agents that are I don't know what the term, you might be able to help me with it. A catalyst, that's it. A catalyst, you introduce a catalyst, those the other elements that are there and that whatever that mixture there, they're lying dormant. They're not producing any reaction until you introduce the catalyst. And when you introduce the catalyst, then I mean everything starts happening. Amen? Well, the life of God, the nature of God is on the inside of us. And when you introduce the catalyst, the exceeding great and precious promises, amen, that causes us to partake of that divine nature. In other words, that divine nature starts coming alive on the inside of us and begins to affect every area of our life.
Amen?
Amen. And so it's vital then that we know what God's Word says. And in His Word, particularly in the epistles, that's the letters written to the church, that's starting in the book of Romans and going through, those are letters written to born-again people. Amen. Now, all the Bible is for us, and we can receive inspiration. All the Bible is inspired of God. All the Bible is the Word of God. But those epistles, those letters, Romans on through, pretty much the rest of the Bible, then that's all written directly. That's written to people that are born again and Spirit-filled, really.
Amen.
And so those are directly for us. Amen. And that's where we find out who we are in Christ. Amen. That's the revelation that Jesus gave to the Apostle Paul. And Paul talked about Jesus came and he revealed this mystery to him about who we are in Christ and what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so it's vital then that we find that out, who we are as new creations in Christ. And then he says back in verse 2, we didn't really touch on that, what he said back in, if you go back to verse 2 there, Amy. In verse 2 he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How many would like grace and peace multiplied yes. in their life? Yes. He said, grace and peace will be multiplied to us. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace is multiplied. The more, in other words, the more I know God, the more grace and peace I'm going to be walking in. Amen? Amen. So how important is it to get to know God? Amen? Now, again, this is not, we talked about this last week as well, it's not an academic or an intellectual knowledge of God. Grace and peace is not multiplied to you by you being able to memorize the books of the Bible and recite them. Amen? He's not talking about an academic or an intellectual knowledge of God. There's a lot of people that have an intellectual knowledge of the Bible. They've studied the Bible as literature, and they can tell you about all of that stuff. And there's no grace and peace flowing into their life at all from that. Grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of God. What kind of knowledge are we talking about? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we looked at last week, but we'll go there again and we'll find that out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul says here, he's writing and he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Well, who would he be? The spirit who is from God is the Holy Spirit. All right. But the spirit who is from God, why have we received him? What is he doing in our lives? What is his role? What is his place in our lives? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So in other words, to know what God's given me. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I thought you're telling us about that today. Well, I'm the human vehicle that's speaking the Word of God to you, but it'll just be, you know, it'll just be, as somebody said, like water off a duck's back, unless the Holy Spirit is working in you to make these things alive in you. Amen? And sometimes you kind of see that, you know, and you look out and you see folks, and well, yep, it's just water rolling off the duck's back. Holy Spirit's not working there today. So I believe the Holy Spirit's working in each of us this morning, right? Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He says that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So it's the Holy Spirit revealing who we are in Christ. The Holy Spirit revealing what God has done for us. And Paul goes on, verse 13, he says, these things we also speak. So he says, I'm teaching you, I'm speaking, but not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So then he begins to talk about, he says, you know, if you try to tell somebody that's a natural man, now who is that? A natural man is a person that's not saved. A natural man is a person that has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and obviously then the Holy Spirit is not on the inside of them to be able to reveal the truths of God to them. And so when you try to share with them the things of God, they're going to be saying, what? Huh? That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand that. Oh, that's foolish. So how in the world is anybody going to get saved then? Well, that's why we have to pray that the Holy Spirit would open their heart.
Amen.
Amen. So when you share, and so when you share Jesus with someone, and that's why it's important to be led too.
Amen.
Amen. To be led by the Lord as to who to talk to. Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to witness to? Rather than just a shotgun blast. You know, be led. Now, a shotgun blast is better than nothing. You might hit something. Amen. But be led. It's even better to be led. Lord, who's ready to hear today? Who have you opened their heart? Who have you prepared their heart? Whose heart have you prepared for me to share your good news with?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But the natural man, he says, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, and he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. All right? And, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God.
Right.
All right? Now, so let's go on into chapter 3, and I want to point out the three types of men or the three types of people that the Scripture identifies here. We've already identified the natural man, right? Who is he? A person that's not born again, all right? And I, brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Everybody say carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal? How did he know they were carnal? Well, because there was envy, there was strife, and divisions. Those are all marks of carnality. Envy, strife, and division. Make a note of that. Envy, strife, and division is all, those are all marks of carnality. All right? What is that? He says, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? And so he's identified, he says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people. So number one, there's the spiritual man. We'll start with the highest, we'll start with the top. The spiritual man. A spiritual man, who's that? That's a person that's born again, and they're living in the reality of that. That's what we all want to be, right? We want to be that spiritual man. You know, when we think about ourselves, we want to be able to identify as a spiritual man, as someone who's born again, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us. We might not have arrived yet because none of us have, but we're on the way. Amen. We're walking on that road. Amen. And we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Amen. And then there's the natural man that we talked about, a person that's not saved, not a Christian. And then there's the third person, that's the carnal man that he talks about right here. He says, you're carnal. He said, I wanted to teach you some further truths, but I had to go back to the milk. We couldn't get on anything of the meat of the word. I had to feed you with milk. Just the very basics. Just, you know, Jesus loves you, you know. And you're forgiven, and just very basic things like that. Very basic, which we should never move away from the basics. That should always be our foundation, but we can build on the basics. Amen?
Amen.
And so he says, but that's as far as I could go with you. Why? Because you're still carnal. There's envy, strife, and division. And he says you're carnal. So what is that? That's a person that's saved. A carnal person is saved, and they have the life and nature of God in them, but they've not become aware of how to tap into that life. And they're living just like an unsaved person. When you stand up the natural man and the carnal man side by side, you can and examine their lives, you see no difference. Natural man defeated, carnal man, even though he's been made more than a conqueror in Christ, he's not tapping into that, not living it, he's defeated too. Natural man controlled by his flesh, carnal man. Even though he's born again, he's letting his flesh dominate him. His spirit's been locked away, and his flesh is dominating him, no different than the natural man. And that shouldn't be. Amen? That's not how God created us to live. He says, but when you allow envy, strife, and division, he says you're carnal, and you're behaving like mere men. What the inference is that we're not mere men. Amen. Say this. Say, I'm not a mere man. I'm a supernatural being.
I'm a supernatural being.
I'm a new creation person.
I'm a new creation person.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
We're partakers of the divine nature. Amen? That's who we are. We're not mere men.
Amen.
And the Amplified says, you're behaving yourselves after a human standard, and you're acting like mere unchanged men. Thank God. We shouldn't act like mere unchanged men. We should live out. There should be evidence in our lives of what's happened on the inside. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, let's talk more about that then. So again, let's go back to it. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. But we'll not fully live out of our spirit unless we deal with our soul and with our body. And we're going to get to that eventually in this series. But I want to talk a little bit more about the spirit, about the real you. Your spirit is the real you. See, it's so important that we identify who we are. Amen? Your spirit, that's the real you. As I said earlier, God is a spirit, John 4:24, and we're made in His image, so we're made, so we're a spirit as well. So without Christ, apart from Christ, our spirit is dead. And when a person receives Christ, they're born again in their spirit. They're made alive unto God. Amen. And look at this scripture that Paul says in Romans chapter 7. In Romans 7, verse 9, look at this. Romans 7:9. This is a very interesting scripture, and it answered a lot of questions for me when I understood it. And I trust it will for you if you've never seen it before. Paul says, I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Paul says, I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Is he talking physically there? He couldn't be talking physically, could he? He's talking spiritually. Notice he said, I was alive once without the law. In other words, he said, at one point in my life, my spirit was alive unto God. See, every person born in this earth, whenever every baby that's born, that spirit, when a baby is born, their spirit is alive. Some people are troubled about babies or children or little ones if they die or they're killed or whatever. Well, did they go to heaven? Yeah, their spirit was alive. They were in fellowship with God. I was alive once without the law. What does that mean? They had no knowledge of sin at that point. Amen. Their spirit is alive, but there's a seed of sin on the inside of them, but it's dormant at that time. That sin nature, that seed of sin passed down to all humanity, but until a person has the knowledge of sin, the knowledge of right and wrong, and then chooses to do wrong, that seed of sin is dormant. Paul said, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, in other words, when the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots came, and we chose the thou shalt, we chose to do the opposite, at that point, sin revived, he said, and I died. He died spiritually. He became separated from God at that point. But notice this. Notice how he talks about it. He says, I was alive. Sin revived and I died. Who is the I that he's talking about there? His spirit, the real him. The real Paul is a spirit. His body didn't die. He's talking about the real man. He said, I was alive. The I, that's your spirit. That's the real you. I died. That's the real him, the real Paul that died. The spirit man. Amen? Look at this verse, James 2:26. James 2, verse 26. It says, and I said earlier to you, I said, in the Bible, death doesn't mean cessation. It means separation. And so here we see it again in James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. What is that? Separation, right? Yes. As the body without the spirit is dead. He's making a point about faith, which we're not making today. But so faith without works is dead. But notice the first thing that he says here, as the body without the spirit is dead. See, what brings about physical death? What brings about physical death is your spirit moves out. The real you moves out and your body dies. The body without the spirit is dead. The body separated from the spirit dies. Amen? And so the spirit is the real you. That's why it never really looks like the person when you go to the funeral home. We try to be nice and say, oh, they look so good. Really? That's just a shell. The real you, the one that brought life and personality and reality, is gone, moved on. That's just a shell. Yeah, if you go to 8045 Jotham Down Road looking for me, you won't find me there anymore. We moved out. We sold our house. We moved out of that house. You can go to the house and shed a tear and say, it looks just like him. No, hey, I'm over here. I'm over here now. I'm not in there. Amen.
Amen.
It's probably taking on the personality of the new owners. Amen. No, their body's just a shell. Just the house. Amen. The body without the spirit is dead. So the spirit, that's the real you. Then secondly, the spirit is the inward man. The spirit is the inward man, or the hidden man. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, look at this. It says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And those of us over 50 said, amen. 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 Glory. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Glory to God. That scripture didn't mean so much to me years ago as it does now, but I just appreciate it more every day. Thank God my inward man's been renewed day by day. Verse of the New Living Translation, that same verse, it says, that is why we never give up. I said, we never give up. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits, New Living translates it spirit, our spirits are being renewed every day.
Amen.
The New King James calls it the inward man. The New Living calls it the spirit. So your spirit, that is your inward man. And that inward man is being renewed day by day. 1 Peter 3, 4, Peter's talking here. He says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart. Your spirit, the real you, the Bible defines and calls and identifies as the hidden person of the heart. And so here's another thing. We see the heart and spirit are synonymous. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about your spirit, the real you, as well. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That's the real you, that hidden person of the heart. That's your spirit. Amen? The real you. All right? So the spirit is the real you. It's the inward hidden man, and your spirit, the next point here, your spirit, that's the place where God speaks to you. This is so important that we get this. The spirit, your spirit is the place, my spirit is the place, that's where God speaks to me. God is not a mind. God is not a body. Jesus said God is a spirit. And you're created in His image, you're a spirit. So where's God going to speak to you? He's going to speak to you in your spirit. Amen. A lot of times we try to be led by feelings. A lot of times we try to be led by reason. But that's not where God speaks. God speaks to us in our spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, how does He lead us? How does the Spirit of God lead us? Verse 16 tells us, the Spirit Himself, look at this, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our mind, with our body. The Spirit Himself bears witness with what part of us?
Our spirit
that we are children of God, and He bears witness with our spirit about every other thing, too. Amen. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus appeared to Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin in February of 1959. He was in El Paso, Texas. And he was in a hospital room. He had actually had injured his arm and his elbow. He was preaching, And this was back before the days of, certainly before the days of digital recording like we're doing today. Someone had wanted to capture his messages and then placed a reel-to-reel. Anybody ever seen a reel-to-reel tape recorder?
Yes.
You know, it's a reel about that big, and there was two of them. And somebody placed a reel-to-reel tape recorder down on at the base of the platform. And Brother Hagin got to preaching, and he got excited, and he was jumping off the platform. And he saw, oh, my Lord, I'm going to land on that reel-to-reel recorder. And he tried to change his fall in midair, and he ended up landing awkwardly and injuring his arm. It wasn't broken. Found out when he got to the hospital, it wasn't broken. He had, but it was dislocated, and so he had to spend a couple of days in the hospital. And so he's laid up in the hospital. The Lord had already spoken to his heart and said, you know, everything's going to be all right. So he's laying in his hospital bed about 6:30 in the evening, and he hears steps coming down the hallway, and his door is partially open, and he can hear this slap, slap of leather hitting the floor. And he's thinking the nurse is walking in, and his family's gone, nobody's there, and if his family's or anything. And so the door opens, and he looks up. He's expecting to see a nurse or somebody, and it's Jesus. And Jesus walks in, walks over, pulls up a chair, sits down beside his bed in a chair, and talks to him for an hour and a half. Brother Hagin used to share that just like it was just, you know, when I went to Rhema, he would say, well, the Lord appeared to me. I mean, he didn't make any fanfare about it, and I just thought, oh, yeah, back when I was a young kid going to Bible college, I thought, yeah, that happens to everybody. I'm sure Jesus would be appearing to me here if you'd, you know. I didn't realize just how amazing that was and how unique and special that was till years later. And so he pulls up a chair, and he sits down, and he talks to him for an hour and a half, and he talks to him about the prophet's ministry that he had been neglecting. He said, you've been neglecting your prophet's ministry. I called you to this ministry. And he said, you've been neglecting it. So he was telling him, teaching him, talking about the prophet's ministry. But then he also was talking to him about being led by the Spirit. And he said, I want you to begin to teach my people how to be led by the Spirit. And he made this statement. One of the most important things that he said in the hour and a half was this. So why are you telling me? How's this fit in with what we're talking about? Well, Jesus made this statement to him. He said, the number one way, the primary way that I lead all of my children is by the inward witness. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. One of the most important statements that He made in that hour and a half was that right there. The number one way, the primary way that I lead, how many of my children? All my children. Does that include you?
Yes.
Are you one of His children?
Yes.
Amen. It's by the inward witness. What does that mean? That means He wants to lead you, He wants to lead me, and He will lead you and me by the inward witness. The Spirit, what is that? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. That's what Jesus was commenting on that verse. That's the inward witness. He bears witness with our spirit. That's not a voice. It's not God speaking to us in an audible voice, writing it in the sky. It's an inward knowing, an inward knowing. That's the number one way that God leads. It's so important. If you don't get anything else today, get this. Get this. The number one way that God leads us is by that inward witness. And learn. And see, learning to identify your spirit is key then, because the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. If I don't know that I'm a spirit, if I haven't located my spirit, then I'm not going to discern that inward witness when the Holy Spirit is communicating with me. Amen?
Amen.
So it's so important that we get this. Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The what part of man is?
Spirit.
The spirit of a man, your spirit, is what? The lamp of the Lord. God says, I'm going to use your spirit. I'm going to enlighten you. I'm going to guide you through your spirit. Our spirit, that's the part of us that God communicates with. Our spirit, that's the part of us that God speaks to. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. God will enlighten us. God will guide us through our spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. So our spirit is the place where God speaks to us. And then finally, our spirit, your spirit, that's the place of faith. Your spirit is the place of faith. It's with your spirit that you believe. It's with your spirit, that's where faith comes from. Faith comes out of your spirit. Romans 10, verse 9, you know this scripture. Romans 10, 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For notice this, verse 10, for with the heart, everybody say with the heart. Remember, heart and spirit are interchangeable. For with the heart, what? One believes. For what do you believe with?
Your heart.
With the heart, one believes. See, people try to believe with their mind. You're not supposed to believe with your mind. Amen. There's things we're supposed to do with our mind, but believing doesn't come out of the mind. For with the heart, one believes. Out of your so your spirit, that's the place of faith. That's the place where believing comes from. Amen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. All right? So let's wrap this up then. This is the last scripture we'll look at right here. Hebrews 4, verse 12. So we've talked about the spirit. The spirit's the real you. Spirit's the inward man, the hidden man. Spirit's the place where God speaks. The spirit is the place of faith. Well, what about the soul? Well, Hebrews 4:12, let's look at, and this is in God's Word translation. It says this, God's Word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts as deep as the place where soul and spirit meet. Notice this. God's Word is living and active. He said it cuts as deep as the place where soul and spirit meet. In other words, only God's Word can divide and discern soul and spirit. Yeah. Only the Word of God can do that. God's Word judges a person's thoughts and intentions. So a lot of times people are confused about, well, is that coming out of my soul? Is that coming out of my spirit? Well, only the Word of God can divide them. Only the Word of God can discern between them. And so the more you get into the Word of God, the more you get into God's Word, the more, that's why the Word of God is so important, the more you get into God's Word, the more clearly you'll be able to see yourself and see, okay, that's my spirit. Okay, that prompting, that's coming out of my spirit. I know where that prompting is coming out of. That's coming out of my body. Huh?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I'm hungry. Let's get something to eat. You know where that witness is coming from? Yeah. That's your body, right? You try to read the Bible and you say, turn on the TV. Let's see what's on. Come on, entertain me. Yeah? What's that? That's your body, your soul, right? Yeah. Amen. And so the more we study God's Word, the more we'll be able to define and identify, which is the important thing, identify, okay, that's my spirit. That's where God's speaking. That's the leading of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So God's Word divides. God's Word cuts to the place where soul and spirit meet. There's a place where they meet. There's a place where they meet. Amen. And only the Word of God can divide them for us. Amen. So, it's good to look at it and understand it this way. So with my spirit then, I contact the spiritual realm. Why don't you stand up? Some of y'all are drifting off to sleep, so you need, maybe if you stand up, you won't sleep. Let's hope not. Hallelujah. All right. So with my spirit, I contact the spiritual realm. Would you say that after him? Say, with my spirit, I contact the spiritual realm. With my soul, I contact the intellectual and emotional realm. With my body, I contact the physical realm. So it's with our spirit that we contact the spiritual realm. That's why Jesus said in John 4, he said, God's a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit. So when we, yes, our bodies can be involved in worship, raising our hands, you know, clapping our hands as we sing. You know, our bodies can be involved, but true worship's got to come out of our spirit. It's got to originate out of our spirit. We'll never connect with God through our body. We'll never connect with God just through our intellect, our reasoning, or our emotions. We connect with God through our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible instructs us, we're told to do something with our soul. Our souls aren't born again. Your spirit becomes a new creation. But you still have the same soul you had before you got saved. That's why the Bible says in 23rd Psalm, it says, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. We'll talk about how to restore the soul. We'll talk about what to do with our soul, with our mind, our will, our emotions. We'll talk more about that next time.
Amen.
But right now, let's just raise our hands and let's just worship God.